Father, I thank you for this moment of just opening your word and reflecting on your goodness and your desire to have each of us in a living relationship with you. Would you open our hearts tonight? Would you give every man, woman, every young person that's here this evening the opportunity, Lord, to understand the depth of your love and your heart for them? Deliver us, Lord God, from all self-perception and images that, God, block our hearts from the depths of your love and the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to touch my life, O God, and enable me to speak for you tonight and touch this whole audience, that there be nobody that would escape what you did on the cross and what you desire to do today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you tonight about how much God loves you and how much he wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Now, by that, let me define that. God's Holy Spirit is the third person of God. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We may not be able to fully ever understand that or explain that, but suffice to say that's who God is. God the Father sent his Son. God the Son went to a cross, that means two pieces of wood in the shape of a T. He was nailed there, he was bruised, he was rejected, he was beaten, and he did all of that so that he could get you and I back to himself again, to pay the price for the wrong things that we have done that have separated us from him. We couldn't get back to him in our own strength. It was not possible. Try like we might, there was no way. The gap between us and God was too big, was too wide. Even if you stood back and you took a 600-yard run at full speed, you would only go probably a 1/1,000,000th of the distance you had to go to get to the other side. It was absolutely impossible to get back to God. So he came to us in the form of his Son, died on a cross to pay the price for the wrong that you and I have done, then invited us to come back to him, to ask forgiveness, to be restored back to a relationship with the living God. And with that restoration, the third person of God, God's Holy Spirit, comes and makes his residence inside of our earthly physical bodies. That is called being born again by the Spirit of God. We are given new life, a new future, a new mind, a new heart. Everything becomes new. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. The old things in your life pass away, all things become new. That means the things that governed you, dominated you, became part of your life, lose their power, lose their hold, and you start on a completely new journey. You have an assurance in your heart that heaven is going to be your home, and you have the power to become the person that God intended you to be right from the beginning. There was a man in the Bible, in the book of Acts, it's called. Now, the book of Acts is a book that talks about the early stages of the church being people like you and I who believe this truth, that God sent his Son to bring us back to him, and that because of him, we are forgiven, and because of his Holy Spirit, we are starting out on a new journey. So the book of Acts is all about that journey of the first people who chose to believe what I'm telling you tonight and began to walk in that belief about 2,000 years ago. Now, some people have a perception that it's really only people who are down and out that need God. They have to be addicted, afflicted, they have to be tormented, they have to be like the people in the Bible who are outcasts of society. And so I had that perception before I became a Christian, that other people needed God, I didn't. I could plow my way through life and somehow succeed and survive, and others who couldn't, they needed God. I had a vision, in a sense, of church was just for a place for people who had no other options. May I put it that way? I had a vision in my heart. I was a cop, right? So I had a vision that church was a place for little old ladies. No offense if anybody here is a lady. But it was a place for little old ladies that wore hats with flowers and stuff. And they went, praise God, you know. And it just wasn't for me. My life was completely different. And so in the Bible, in Acts chapter 10, there's a man. His name was Cornelius. And he was a leader in his community. He had 100 or so people that he was in charge of looking after and giving instructions throughout the day. The scripture says he was a good man and he was a devout man. He had a desire for God, just like you do tonight. You want to be good, don't you? I mean, if you want to be evil, what are you doing here tonight? It's the wrong place to be. If you are fully set on doing evil, you're really in the wrong place. This is not a place for you tonight. But you're not here because you want to do evil. You're here because you want to do good, right? Everybody here wants to do good. If I were to ask you individually, what would you like to do better? There's people here that say, I would like to be a better father, a better husband. I'd like to be a better friend. I would like to be a better this, a better that. Everybody, and this was Cornelius. He was a devout man. The scripture says he had a reverence for God. In other words, he would probably go to places of worship like you are tonight. He would love the songs that would be sung there. And he would try to do right. He was the Bible says he was a generous man, and he was given to prayer, to talking to God, to seeking God. I wonder if his prayer was sort of like ours are. God, help me. God, are you there? How do I get to know you the way I think I need to? How do I get beyond where I am? I've achieved. Now, Cornelius could say, I've achieved. I'm a leader. He was wealthy. He was generous. He was devout. But he knew in his heart something is missing. There's something in my life that is not there. I've gone this far in God, but I know I need to go this far, but I don't know how to get there. The Apostle Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. He said that there's things that I know I should be, there's things that I know I should do, but how do I get there? How do I go beyond just prayers that maybe are not answered the way I think they should be, or just trying to be good? Cornelius was a man who would say, isn't there more to life than this? Am I created for more than this? I've gone as far as a natural man could go. I've given it my best shot, but there's still this sense of emptiness inside of me. And he was praying and he was fasting before God, and I don't know what his prayer was. But the Bible says that suddenly a messenger appeared before him. The Bible calls it an angel, and said, your prayers and your desire to be godly have been heard by God. And I'm telling you that tonight. I'm your messenger tonight, telling you God has heard your cry. He's heard your prayers and your desire to be godly. He's heard it. And the messenger stood before him and said, now call for this man, Peter, Simon Peter. He's at a tanner's house in another part of the country. He says, send somebody there, and he's going to tell you some words you need to hear. So he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from those who waited on him continually. Like, this is a good man. This man's a leader. This man is generous. This man prays. This man loves God. This man loves people. But something is missing in his heart. So they went and they found Peter. And of course, Peter was praying. And as he was praying in the place where they found him, God showed him something that he was about to do. And I thank God that as we pray in this church, God has shown us something he's about to do for you. Shown us your life, about how he's going to give you that cleanness that you've always longed for. He's willing to give you that new heart and that new mind. And nothing should ever surprise us that God is willing to do. You see, the God who sent his son and the son who came to a cross to die for you is not going to withhold from you because you failed. He's not going to draw back from you because you struggle. He's not going to fold his arms and reject you. It would be counterproductive, may I put it that way, to come to the earth and die such a horrible death for you and then fold his arms and reject you because there's some flaw that you perceive in your life that you think that God's not able to get around it to get to you. Peter came into the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius, he had a good reputation in the community. He had a good reputation among his family. The Bible tells us he called together all his relatives and all his friends. So the house is packed. This place is full. And he says, listen, there's somebody coming to tell us something about God. So I want everybody here. I want all my friends here. I want all my family. And they all came because they trusted this man. This was a good man. Remember, the gospel is not just for people who have failed and fallen in a visible sense. And so Peter comes into the house, and Cornelius said, well, I was praying and fasting, and an angel appeared to me and told me that you would come and you would tell us something. He didn't even know what something was. You know what something is tonight. You know I'm going to preach what we call the gospel to you, but maybe you don't understand how that actually works. And neither did Cornelius. He said, I just was praying, and a man in shining clothes appeared in my house and said, send for Peter, and Peter's going to talk to you about something. So here we are. Talk to us. And so he began to speak, and he said, the first thing out of Peter's mouth, he says, that I perceive in truth that God shows no partiality. In other words, Peter is saying, I'm seeing something that God is willing to reach out to every person, no matter where they are, whether they're at the top of the social ladder or at the bottom, whether they're good or whether they're obviously fallen from what they should be in God. I perceive that God is not concerned about where we are, that the gospel of forgiveness is open to every person. Everybody here, I perceive that tonight in my heart, and I hope you perceive it in yours. Whether you're a pious person that prays 16 times a day, or whether you're crawling in off the street, drug addicted, hooked on pornography, lying is as easy as breathing to you. It doesn't matter. I perceive that with God, His heart is open to all people. His heart of forgiveness is open. His power is open. His willingness to forgive and change is open. There is no respect of persons. There are no big people or little people in the sight of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none standing in right relationship by any amount of human effort. Not even one stands in a right relationship with God. And Peter said, but I believe and see that in every nation, whoever fears him. Now, it actually means whoever has a reverence for God in their heart and wants to do right is accepted by him. And wants to do right. I had that when I was a young man. I knew that I could never be the husband that I should be, let alone the one that's written in the Bible. I didn't even know that one then. I just knew that what I was not good. I knew that I couldn't be a father to my son back at that time because I was too selfish. Now, I knew it was right, but I didn't know how to do it. And I could try, but there were issues in my character that would always drag me back down. I would try to be kind. I would try not to raise my voice. I would try not to get frustrated. I would try to be there. I would try to care, but there was this inner law that kept dragging me back to a behavior that I didn't want to be, I didn't want to do. Peter goes on and he tells them that God sent his Holy Spirit upon his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus went through the world doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. We saw the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And we were there when he was arrested, betrayed, beaten, and hanged on a tree to die. We saw him die. We also witnessed God raising him up on the third day, and he showed him openly. The power of God was clearly made evident through him, and that God raised him up. And we were witnesses. We ate and drank with him after he was raised from the dead. This is what Peter was telling Cornelius and all the people in the house. In other words, Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised again from the dead to show us clearly that if we trust in him, we too will be raised with him from the power of death. We will be given the ability to escape this inner death that seems to want to govern the rest of our lives. And then ultimately bring us to a place where people don't want to be. And he says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. In other words, there's a day of justice and judgment coming, and every man, every woman, every person who ever lived in this world will stand before Jesus Christ as the judge of all things and give an account of their lives. You and I will stand there one day. You know that. You will stand there. It doesn't matter what kind of a formula you conjure up in your mind. You and I, individually, one at a time, are going to stand before Jesus Christ, who is the judge of all things. Those that are living at the time of his return and those who have died and are already in the ground. But nobody will escape this day of judgment, where everyone's deeds will be laid out visibly and they'll be judged on what we have done. Now, Peter goes on to say, to him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness for the wrong they have done. A phenomenal thought. Here's what Peter was saying to Cornelius. There's a day God sent his son died. We were witnesses of his death. He rose from the dead. We ate and drank with him. He is the one who will be the judge of the entire world. The whole world is going to stand before him one day and be judged by what they have done. But the good news is that now you can receive forgiveness for the wrong that you have done, so you will not be judged on that day. Whoever believes in him, I think in that room when Peter said, there's a day of justice and judgment. Everybody in that room, all of a sudden something or maybe a multiple of things are popping up in their minds. Oh, God. Oh, God, I remember what I did. Oh, God, I remember what I said. Oh, God, I remember what I didn't do. Oh, God, I remember what I did in secret when I thought nobody was looking. Oh, God, I remember all of these things. I will be judged. I will be judged. And there had to be a sense of condemnation come into the room. Because, of course, that's what the Word of God, before we come to Christ, is designed to do, to bring us to an understanding of our need of a Savior. And it was at that point when Peter says, whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of the wrong things that they have done. It was at that moment, the Bible says, while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. He wasn't even done preaching. And everybody in the room, it says, those who were Jews were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They were suddenly brought out of the natural and into the supernatural. Their hearts were open. I don't see any evidence they said it publicly. But I think in their heart, every man, every woman just groaned, said, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. And they found something that you need to find tonight, that God is not just willing to forgive. He longs to have a relationship with you. He didn't wait for the altar call. He didn't wait for any further explanation. As soon as he heard that cry, he came running to them and filled them before they knew what it was that had happened to them. They were speaking in other tongues and glorifying God with abilities that only God could give. It was supernatural, the ability of the Holy Spirit. When God's Holy Spirit comes, when he comes and indwells your heart, you are given new giftings of God. You are given a new nature. You're given new power. You're given new ability. You're given a new future. Your past is wiped away. It's cleansed because you have trusted in Christ for your forgiveness. You become, as the Bible says, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. You see, they weren't looking just to speak in tongues. A lot of people come to a service like this where we hear about the infilling of the Spirit because they want that spiritual experience. They didn't even know there was such a thing. They wanted God. They wanted to live a godly life. They wanted to honor God. They wanted Christ to be the Lord of their life. They wanted the future that God had for them. There was more than just an experience. They weren't even told about this experience. They wanted God. That's my story. I first came to Christ in an assembly that didn't believe that there was such a thing as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I believed that. I believed it. And I was saved there. And so I'm still very grateful for that fellowship. But after about 2 years of struggling, a cry came into my heart. It was like, God, I know I'm going to heaven, but isn't there something for this life? I mean, I open the hymn book on Sunday, and I'm reading the hymn, I'm singing the hymns that I wasn't raised in the church, so this was all brand new to me. Amazing grace, and how great thou art, and great is thy faithfulness. And I would stand there and cry, and the tears would come down my face, and it was just, oh God, this is so beautiful. These words are so true. These songs are songs like I've never sung in my whole life. And then I would leave, and I would be among my friends walking down the street. I remember one time, and I was ashamed, really, and powerless. That's what I felt. As long as I was part of a program, I could kind of share a little bit. I was walking with two of my buddies to court one time in uniform, and this guy called John was coming down the street, a very vocal Christian, and I remember thinking, oh, God, please don't let him see me. Don't let him see me. Because John was one of those guys that would hug you and lift you right off the pavement, you know, that kind of. And so I just got so sick of this duplicity, the powerlessness. I kind of felt like Cornelius. I'm doing good. I want to do good. I am saved. Cornelius wasn't, but I am. But there's got to be something. Where does the power come from to live this life? I mean, I've tried hard for 2 years, and I'm studying, I'm learning, I'm in new believers and beyond new believers and new disciples classes, and I'm going out with evangelism teams. But God, in my own life, where's the power? Then I was invited to a halfway house one night, and I went with another guy, another cop, and these were all guys out of prison. This was a heavy-duty halfway house, might I add. These were not light crimes. These guys were being paroled, and they were kind of halfway. It was a reintegration into society. So this was like a Christian halfway house. And I remember going there that night, and they invited us to stay for a testimony meeting and a service. So I was just so taken aback at the power of their testimony, the unashamedness of even confessing what they had done, and just crying and rejoicing for the freedom that was in their lives. And then one of the guys turns to me and he says, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, suddenly I reverted to my theology. And I said, well, yeah, I got that when I got saved. And he says, no, I know that. But have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I was told that didn't exist anymore. And so I said, well, you know, I just reverted to my theology. And I was thinking in my heart, well, these guys need this. You know, they're just out of prison. And they're trying to reintegrate, and there's this argument going on inside of me, thinking, "Who are you trying to kid? You have no power. You why are you even doing? You've got a I was like I had a Cornelius cry in my life, and so they, at the end of their testimony meeting, there's about a dozen or more guys, and they said, "You mind if we just lay hands on you and pray for you?" And I said, "Okay, all right, go ahead." And so they said, do you mind raising your hands? I'd never done that before. And I thought, oh, okay. So they put their hands on me, and there was a guy stepped behind me. I said, get away from there. Don't stand behind me. And he said, I think I should. And I said, no, you don't need to. He said, okay, I'll have it your way. So they started praying for me. I was in uniform. I had a gun on me. And the next thing I know, I'm flat out on a hardwood floor in this meeting. I'm speaking in other tongues. God met me. Up to that point, I would have thought anybody who did this was crazy. But now I was doing it. And it wouldn't go away. I mean, I drove home and I said, did that really just happen to me? And so I'd say, okay, it couldn't happen. And as I'd open my mouth and this river would come out again. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? Because my church teaches this doesn't exist, but it's happened to me and it won't go away. And so I got home to the old farmhouse we used to live in. I walked through the kitchen door. It was an afternoon shift and it was about 11:30 at night. Pastor Teresa's sitting in the kitchen waiting for me. I opened the door and I went, listen to this. And I started speaking in other tongues. She's just staring at me like a deer in the headlights. Then I went out and I started running through the field and I was shouting and praising God and singing Amazing Grace at the top of my lungs. And you got to hear her side of the story. She said, my husband has snapped. He has lost his mind. The pressure has gotten him. Something must have happened tonight. Oh, God, what am I going to do? My husband is crazy. And he just came home. So then I told her, I said, by her own testimony, she said she saw such a change in my life the next week. There was such a change. She said, it's like my husband is a different man. And I told her, I said, well, you got to come to this halfway house with me because that's where you get the Holy Spirit. These ex-cons got to lay their hands on you and you're going to get what I got. So we're driving in the next week. And we're traveling, and you got to hear her side of this. I'm going to get her to tell it one Sunday night. She said it was the scariest thing. My husband's got one hand on the wheel, he's got one in the air, and his eyes are closed, and he's praying in tongues. And we're driving. Somehow I could see, but we're driving into the city, and out of nowhere, I was just praying in tongues, and I reached over, put my hand on top of her head, and I said, Lord God, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. I'm asking you to do tonight, but I was thinking like later on, I'm asking you to do tonight for her what you did for me. The next thing I know, she's melting off the seat onto the floor of the car. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, that's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen at the meeting, not right now. Don't you love the innocency of Cornelius in his house? The innocency of those who don't have to figure it all out. The innocency of those who say, I just want God. All I want is God, and I don't care how that happens. I want the power to live a life that God has for me. I want to amount to more than just somebody that fills a seat somewhere, listening to somebody else's story about what God has done for them. I want God to do something for me. I want to be taken to that place that I can't go. I want to be made as Cornelius into that man that I can't be apart from my natural strength. I want something of God that only can come from God. And God heard that cry in my heart, just as God has heard the cry of your heart tonight. The cry, His Holy Spirit is still available. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up and said, the promise of God is not just to these, but it's to you and it's to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call from that day right through to the time that Christ returns. God's power is still available for everyone who has an open heart and wants to know Him. I make no apologies for the power of God. It's because of that experience with God that I am where I am today, standing where I'm standing, able to do what God's called me to do. And I know that without the Holy Spirit, that never would have happened. I'm not talking just about an experience. I'm not talking about doing some goofy thing in the house of God and thinking it's God, as much of the modern day Pentecost has turned it into. I'm talking about the power of God for people who want to walk with God. You want your life to count. You want to make a difference. You want to have a testimony of the power and the reality of Jesus Christ, His redemption, and His Holy Spirit. You want to live for God. That is, my brother and my sister, the difference. It's God visiting an open heart. Cornelius didn't expect it, and neither did I. I didn't really expect God to do anything that night, to be honest with you. But I wanted everything of Him. I wanted Him with all my heart. Everything inside of me, saying, Lord, I'm tired of being ashamed of You. I'm tired, oh God, of trying to be godly in my own strength because I can't do it. I thank You that I'm saved. But there's promises here that I'm reading, and there's nothing of me that can achieve them or attain them. I need Your Holy Spirit. And so tonight, listen, this message is for every Cornelius and every friend of Cornelius that's gathered in this house tonight. Everyone like this man 2,000 years ago. Nothing has ever changed. Says, God, if You want me, I'm Yours. And the Lord says to you, I do. I died for you. I died for you because I love you. And I'm not going to leave you in powerlessness. I'm going to give you the strength that you need to be a new creation so that your testimony, your story will not be about what you did for me. It will be about what I have done through you. It's a whole different thing. For those that are here tonight and you want two things, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to know that your sins are forgiven. You want to be among those who all throughout history have just said, Lord, I can't save myself. And there's only so far I can go in trying to be good with my own strength. And so I give up the rights to my life and I recognize that you died for me. And so I'm going to invite you tonight into my life to be the God, the Savior of my life. And when I do that, you promise not only to save me so that I will not be judged on the day of judgment, but you promise to give me your Holy Spirit and make me into a new person. That's the promise of God. That's the real gospel of Jesus Christ. Kingdom of God is not just knowledge. Thank God for that, but it's also power. It's power to walk in that knowledge that God speaks to the heart. And so if that's the cry of your heart tonight, just a simple act of stepping forward saying, I want out of where I am and I want into what God has for me. I want the power of God in my life. I want the salvation that God offers me freely. I don't want to be judged on the day of judgment. I want to know that I'm forgiven when I stand at the throne of God. Until that day, I want the power of God to be a person that walks with God. There's a promise of supernatural power. There's a promise of love, of joy, giftings of God, words of wisdom and knowledge. There's so much that God has to give us. Oh God, would you help your church in this generation? Would you help us, Lord, to step out of everywhere we are and step into the life you have for us. Give us the grace, oh God. Give us the grace, Lord. The humility, the heart, the desire to become people of God, men and women of God. I'm telling you tonight, God has something supernatural for you. You'll be saying things you never knew before. You'll be doing it with a power you never had. You'll go home with joy. You'll go home knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that heaven is going to be your home, knowing that while you live on the earth, your life's going to count. God's going to walk with you. He's going to walk through you and in you. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I open my heart to you and I receive your offer of forgiveness for all the wrong I've done. Thank you for dying for me so that I can have life. I ask you, Lord, that you would come and give me the strength to walk with you all the days of my life. Lead me on the journey that you have for my future. Help me to believe you and not to doubt you. Help me to walk with you and not away from you. I give you my life, Lord, my whole future, my heart, everything I am. I give it all to you. You are now Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me and calling me your own. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.